This is The Guardian.
Hi, Laura Murphy Oates here. Before we start Full Story for 2022, we're revisiting some of our best episodes from the past year. A disclaimer, this episode that originally aired in July last year is for Twitchers and casual birdwatchers alike. In it, we take a look at why the Regent Honeyeater is losing its song and how a team of scientists are trying to bring it back. While this episode does sound sad, and it is a little, it's also just a beautiful journey into the secret world of birds with some really special recordings of the Regent Honeyeater. Okay, enjoy. The eucalyptus woodlands of southeastern Australia were once filled with the sight and sounds of the Regent Honeyeater. Then they were commonly seen in large flocks, but there are now thought to be only a few hundred of the native songbirds left in the wild. Disappearing along with their numbers is the uniquely beautiful Regent Honeyeater song. So why is their song disappearing? Today, bringing back the song of the Regent Honeyeater. It's Wednesday, the 14th of July.
Most people love birds, because I think we'd really notice them if they weren't there. I mean, they're always this sort of soundtrack in the background somewhere.
Graham Redfern is an environment reporter at Guardian Australia.
Where I sit in my office, I always have the window open and I have, I don't have Regent Honeyeaters outside, but I do have some honeyeaters and some noisy miners and lots of crows and quite a lot of lorikeets flying around in my backyard. So yeah, it's the background music to my day too.
Have you ever heard a Regent Honeyeater?
I have heard a Regent Honeyeater on lots and lots of recordings from scientists, but I've never heard one in real life. And even if I did, I don't know that I would know that that was what I was listening to.
I just don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but because they're in such small numbers, ordinarily you wouldn't hear them in the urban environment. It used to be commonly heard back in the 1900s, but now because the numbers have dwindled, we're not hearing those birds in the wild as we once were.
Dr. Joy Tripovich is a behavioural biologist at the Taronga Conservation Society.
I'm basically someone who likes to study the behaviour of animals.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Regent Honeyeater? What is this bird?
So it's this beautiful black and yellow native Australian songbird. Mm. It really is quite striking to look at.
Oh, and they're really pretty if you see them. They've got these beautiful yellow and green flecks through them.
That sort of mottled yellow and black tail, black head, yellow patches all over it.
I guess they're just little birds. They're fast flying. Yeah, they're pretty.
They are really good singers and they have this sort of beautiful high-pitched tone. It's really quite unique.
It's like doot, 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 doot. When we think about language in the English language as well, there's certain parts that need to go in to make a sentence, compose a sentence. It's the same thing with the song. You need to have certain elements in a song for it to make sense to an animal.
Mm. I've never really thought about that each sound that a bird might make might be, you know, equivalent to a word almost. That
exactly.
It's very complex.
Yeah.
Why do honeyeaters sing their song?
For courtship. So a male would usually use its song to court the females to show how attractive it is to the females. Another reason might be for group cohesion, to keep the flock together.
So a bit like in our lives, Laura, like we talk to each other. We will tell each other where's a good spot to go and eat or where's a good spot to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's those sorts of reasons that we think the birds are using song.
It's their way of communicating.
Yeah. What else do we need to know about it?
We need to know that there's really not that many of them left.
Hmm.
The population estimates are at about 350, so really low numbers.
Wow.
Yeah, that is extraordinarily low numbers.
And so we're at a critical point in time where this species, you know, can go extinct if not a lot of measures aren't put in place now to help the species.
Why are there so few of the region honeyeaters?
It's got something to do with their song.
Mm.
They can mimic other birds' song.
Normally, mimicking might be something that gives an animal an evolutionary edge, you know, gives it an edge in terms of, you know, can it evade a predator? Does it sound like something that would help it?
I'm curious, what does this sound like, this mimicking of other birds' songs? Can they do all the birds?
Can they do all the birds?
Yeah.
They can do a lot of birds. They can do eastern rosellas. They can do little wattle birds. They can do little friar birds. Pied currawongs, they can do those too.
And even in the zoo setting, they'll pick up birds that are just outside the aviary.
It seems that they can take on the sounds of other birds in their local area. But now there's been some new research that I've written a story about that suggests that this mimicry is actually a symptom of things going wrong for the species. It's kind of a sign that their culture is breaking apart as their numbers get fewer and fewer.
It seems likely that what's happening here is that because the population is so small and they're getting low in numbers, they don't have their normal tutoring that they would ordinarily have had.
When a regent honey eater, when a young thing wants to blend in, they want to be able to communicate in the language of their peers, right? Like we all do, like humans do. And then as the males grow, they want to be able to sing a song that is attractive to females.
These large flocks would have roamed the countryside. The males from those would have taught the young fledglings how to sing. That mentorship now is gone. It doesn't exist.
Some of the birds only have bits of it. They only know parts. Some know the whole parts, but they don't kind of get the tune quite right. And they can measure this sort of complexity in the audio, and you can hear it. If you listen to the recordings of the birds, you can really hear it.
It's almost like he's got the start of the song, but he doesn't have all all the components in the song to make the correct song.
So he knows the verse but not the chorus.
Pretty much. It hasn't sung the complete song. Yeah.
If they don't know what that song is, then it might be that that affects their ability to mate.
Research that showed birds that sounded unusual for the local area, the female birds weren't pairing with them. So reproduction was impaired if they weren't singing the correct song. So it has an impact on breeding from what we can tell.
Mm. When did the bird community first notice this, that they were losing their song?
So back in 2014, my zookeeping colleagues started to hear the sounds being incorporated into the regent honeyeater's song, which was obviously a quirk. They were like, oh, that's kind of strange. That shouldn't happen. So at that point in time, we started to integrate song tutoring into the regent honeyeater program.
What do you mean by song tutoring? What does that involve?
So the song tutoring is where we play out wild regent honeyeater songs to the young birds.
Joy and the team at Taronga Conservation Society, they've been doing a lot of the work. They've got a zoo. They have speakers in the aviaries where they keep the birds, and they play the song into the aviaries.
When you say play out, do you just get a big...
Through speakers. Sorry.
Is it just a big boom box? No, you've got speakers around the whole...
I mean, it's pretty much like that.
And then another thing that they've done is they've got adult honey eaters and they've put them in aviaries next door to their younger ones.
So they will get to see and hear the wild region honey eaters. Do you want me to get one up on the screen so we can, or are you going to play them? There's certain parts of the song that need to be taught to the bird and they need to get them in the right order. So that bird is a recording collected from the wild from the Kapiti Valley. So it sounds correct in the way we want the birds to sing. It's du, 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 du. It's singing in the right way. It's like du, 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 du. A again, it's the same song components that we want to incorporate into our regent honeyeaters that we're releasing into the wild.
So this is the kind of male that you're hoping the other birds start imitating, yeah?
Exactly.
Next, is there hope for the regent honeyeater? Is it working?
It's a work in progress, I would say. But what we have shown through our study is that song tutoring has had a really big impact in the birds once they've been released.
The birds that are in the aviaries that have managed to learn the song of other regent honeyeaters, and that's by either piping it in speakers or putting other adult males in the aviary next door so that they can learn from each other. Those ones that come out and into the wild that have the right song, they seem to have a slightly better chance at survival.
Mm. This bird is at a critical point in time. If you're not singing the correct song for the area, it potentially impacts your reproductive ability.
It's only small. Let's imagine we are a young regent honeyeater. If we know the song to sing, then we have a 75% chance of surviving when we get released.
Mm.
But it's only 63% if we were not tutored these songs when we were growing up. And that might seem like a low number, but when you're dealing with only 300 or 400 in the wild to begin with, if you can add another 10 or 15 or 20 birds that survive to adulthood and mate, that's really significant because you're dealing with really tiny numbers, and any advantage that you can give this species so that it doesn't disappear off the planet, you want to know that you're doing the right thing and that it's going to work.
Is fixing their song enough to stop them from going extinct?
Well, no. The reason they're in trouble is not because they suddenly forgot how to do their songs. You know, the reason they're in trouble is, it's a combination of things, but it's the usual stuff. It's your fragmentation of habitat or destruction of habitat.
Mm.
They are being eaten by feral animals. So there's not a lot they can do about that fragmented habitat, not on the scale that it's occurred. But if they are running a conservation program where they're trying to put the birds out into back out into the wild or into conservation areas and give them a good chance of surviving, then they want to find every little 1% advantage that they can.
Mm. You say fragmented habitat, but I think a lot of people aren't aware of the level of deforestation that goes on in Australia, or as much as you're aware. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think of it from Australia's, since European invasion, there's been a staggering amount of clearing of all sorts of different vegetation types, woodlands, forests, rainforests, heathlands, grasslands, and that continues. And Australia still appears on sort of these global lists of deforestation hotspots. I think we're probably the only developed nation that still continues to appear on those lists.
Mm.
And that's a massive factor. And that's why we are seeing songbirds and all sorts of other native animals. But that's why things like the regent honeyeaters are really struggling, because we've altered the place where they live so greatly and at such sort of staggering rates that it's kind of no wonder that they're in trouble, really.
Mm. I mean, what has this deforestation mixed with pest and invasive species done to Australia's native bird population, not just the honeyeater? What is the picture like right now?
Well, there was a report a few years ago showing 1 in 8 birds are globally threatened with extinction.
Mm.
We know from a team of researchers that native Australian birds, the threatened birds have declined by about 50%-ish between 1985 and 2015. So, it's unfortunately a common story for for our bird populations.
Mm. You wrote a few articles on the honeyeater earlier this year. What was the response to those articles like?
The story about the loss of song, I think, really got to a few people. Our cartoonist, First Dog, did a cartoon, which I said was a cartoon because I thought it was being funny, but nobody really seemed to appreciate that joke. But I'm giving it another go.
It's terrible. We're cutting it from the podcast.
thank you. Yeah. I'll keep trying. I got a lot of tweets. One person said that the irony of tweeting this incredibly sad story. Other people said it was profoundly sad. One person wrote a limerick.
A limerick.
A limerick. At Camus Goalie wrote a limerick. And it went thus. Most ornithological nerds ain't heard of these rare Aussie birds. My male honey eater is longing to meet a fit bird, but his song lacks the words.
That's beautiful. Is that the first time a story of yours has inspired a limerick, Graham?
I don't think, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the thing we all aspire to, is having our stories elicit poetry.
Why do you think this story captured people's imagination?
One thing occurred to me, like, I wrote a bunch of stories when we had the Black Summer bushfires. And one of the things that the conservationists and some of the bird watchers said to me when I was doing a few features around that was the thing that really hit them was they would return to an area and, you know, and you've got this sort of blackened landscape and you've got dead animals all around you. But the thing that they really noticed was the silence. You know, there's no bird calls. And it's almost like you don't really notice it until it suddenly it's not there anymore. And you walk through a forest and it's totally silent and you don't hear the birds in the background. You know, I think that most of us deep down know that that's a sign that things are not right.
Is there anything that a regular person can do about this, specifically with the honeyeaters, to help save them?
Yeah, so there is a number of ways you can help. Mm. With this program, the post-monitoring release of the birds after they're placed into the wild is huge. Working with BirdLife, they're volunteers that have contributed hours on end to spotting these birds, and you can even spot them in your backyard. You can also help plant trees that they might want to attend to.
Hmm. What type of trees do they like? Do you know?
They're a native bird. So they like native trees. So I think it's eucalypts are a favourite of theirs.
It's trying to regain, you know, the natural setting for these animals, the eucalypt communities that they once had.
There's all sorts of cool apps now where you can become a citizen scientist and record animal sounds, bird calls, and when you do it, you know, the scientists can draw on that data. They can see where you heard the bird, how often, at what time of year. That can help with their research. And also I think one thing we can do is just keep our ears open. Just listen for them. And if you catch a regent honeyeater or any other songbird, and we can just dial out the traffic noise just for a few seconds and just sort of have a listen. I think that the way we respond in the future just might be a little bit different.
That's it for today. Thanks to environment reporter Graham Redfern and Dr. Joy Tripovich for their time. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert and Joe Koning, with sound design by Camilla Hannon. Additional production on our whole Best Of series was by Beth Atkinson-Quinton. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Martignoni, Gabrielle Jackson, and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. Okay, catch you next time.